The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network. Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemme.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Andy Taylor. Big show this week because, well, we're all kind of recovering from Thanksgiving, Cyber Monday.
Don't talk so loud.
Black Friday, Giving Tuesday.
My wallet's lighter.
Small Business Saturday. I was a whole bunch of stuff. Of course. Oh, yeah. You know what? We were trying to figure who was going to spend the most amount of money out of the three of us. And it looks like it was Sean.
Yeah, Sean, definitely.
Well, so I ended up buying this analogy.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, you were waiting for it to come in.
The one that I have, right?
The Synology. Yeah, it's the Synology 920 Plus. Yep. 4-bay, which is great.
Yep.
I got it. No problem. And if you remember correctly, I had mentioned I had a bunch of old SAN drives from work that were relatively in new and in good shape. They are not SATA drives.
Oh, are you kidding me? They are
SAS drives, so SAS drives. So they're better than SATA drives, but they don't fit in my enclosure.
So you had to buy more.
So I went back to B&H, which is where I bought my Synology. I did a little bit of research on the data hoarder and the storage subreddits and came up with the Western Digital 4-terabyte Red Plus SATA drives, which are really good. The Red drives are known for their storage. They were $88 a piece. Perfect price for 4 terabytes. It's great. Okay. So I got this analogy the day after Thanksgiving.
How many of those little those drives did you have to buy? You had to buy 4.
I bought 4.
Oh. Wow.
So $355
in
drives. Not a problem. Not a big deal. Whatever.
After the $1,000 for the Synology.
After the $588 for the Synology.
Oh, okay.
You got a good deal.
Because I bought it without drives.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So I get the Synology in. I wait for me to get the drives. I open up the drives. I mount them all in the Synology, and I fire it up. Perfect. Everything's cool and great. Except it only reads one hard drive. Weird. Okay, let's swap them around. See if there's something wrong with this analogy. Nope, still only reads the one drive in the other slot. So that's weird.
You got three bad drives.
I take them out of the enclosure, and I drop them into a external USB drive bay. I have 3 bunk hard drives from Western Digital out of the box.
Oh, my God.
3 bad hard drives out of the box from Western Digital.
Oh, my God. Red drives at that.
I have bought drives from Newegg, Amazon, Walmart, I've bought drives from a ton of vendors over the years.
Jose on the corner. Come on.
I've never had one bad out of the box.
And I have three. Is it possibly they're probably all made at the same time in the factory and there was something that messed up?
Did FedEx drop it? Did it get shipped bad? I mean, who knows, right? It got here in 2 days. Did they chuck it from the airplane? I don't know.
Oh, of course they did.
So I was a little peeved because I had it all fired up. I'm ready to go. I've got it configured. I've got my Synology named. I've got it plugged into the network. I'm all excited, ready to go.
Wait, hold on. What'd you name it?
Yeah.
Weird NAS. Anyways, so I was just a little peeved, right? So it's like I had to take the drives out. I had to unmount them from the chassis, the harness.
Man.
Put them back in the boxes. And I'm sending all 4 back.
All 4?
Why? Would you trust a 4th drive?
No, if not at all.
If 3 of the 4 drives come back bad?
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, no. Good point.
So I emailed B&H. They said, no problem. Here's your shipping label. They're already back in the mail to go back. I'm getting 4 new drives from B&H at no cost to me. So we'll see. So maybe by the next time we do our show, I'll have my Synology up and running. Man, that Synology thing, there's so much you can do with it. And I'm going to just be scraping the tip of the iceberg.
Well, when Justin was telling us last week about the containers and Docker and everything, I'll be honest, I had no idea. I honestly, Justin, thought it was just, you know, a storage device that did RAID and protected you. I didn't know you could run stuff under Synology.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can use it as a transcoding server. You can use it as a Docker server. You can use it. I mean, you can use it as a VM server. It's incredible what you can do with it. I mean, I was just reading and reading and reading all the stuff you can do, downloading the 30 apps you can get for it to do different things. I'm going to run four terabyte drives in mine. So that, and I'm going to run it in the, what they call the SAS-1. So that's three drives with one parity.
One parity. All right.
Yep.
Now, so, can you explain that for our listeners that don't understand how you have this one drive that's just kind of off by itself doing something? Why is that important in the setup that you're doing?
So the data is essentially imaged from those three drives. Each drive is essentially imaged as an ISO or however they do it to that fourth drive, so that if you lose a hard drive, it fails, which I got three bunk drives. So who knows, right?
Man, that could have been bad.
You'll get a warning saying, hey, this drive failed. You pull it out, you swap it in with another 4 terabyte drive, and it goes, oh, you're good. Here's your 12 terabytes back.
Because that one drive, that's the parity drive, will re-image that drive as it needs to be.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Now, so, if you lose, now here's another question, though. Like, if you lose your parity drive, you know, what happens? It's basically the same thing.
Well, if you lose your parity drive, then you put it in your parity drive and it just starts the parity process over again.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's the same thing. But if you lose or you get an alert saying, hey, one of your drives failed on a 4-bay system, you lose one drive, you best be replacing that drive as soon as possible, because if you lose a second drive, everything is gone. Right? You can't lose more than one drive. If you have a RAID 5 with, you know, three data drives and one parity, you only get to lose one. If you lose a second, everything is gone.
Yeah. So this is what my plan is, right? So I'm in the mindset of having, so I'm going to be moving all, I'm going to take all of my, I'm going to inventory all of the hard drives that I've got over the years of all of my media, all my work, and catalog everything.
Say, I've been saying that for 20 years.
I've already started, right? So I've already got a tub full and I'm ready to go, right? Because I'm just going to get it all onto this NAS. Using Backblaze, you can do a cloud backup of your NAS.
Oh, now that's good. Yeah, that's cool. Okay.
So once it's full, or once I've got everything I want on it, I will run a Backblaze backup. And then when I add or delete files, it will resync and re-upload or rechange the Backblaze.
Sure.
So
okay,
that way I have a true offsite backup as well as my NAS.
Right.
Plus the original drives, which I will just put into some sort of cold storage foam, you know, anti-static foam case, which I've already got the case for and everything. But because right now my drives are all over the, who knows where they're all at, right? I'm going to be finding drives for the next year, probably.
I can only imagine, though, your frustration when you take the time. How many of us have gone through this? You take the time to get a project done. And this can be anything from doing graphics to doing a computer build, or in this case, building the Synology up. And one thing, let alone three things for you, fails. It makes the whole process, it's like a wasted time doing this.
Well, it's just like, I was so excited because I was like, I want to talk about it on the show. I want to explain how awesome it was to get it and run things and share some joy with Justin and, you know, and talk about how he uses his versus how I use mine. And here I am. Waiting for B&H to ship me three, four.
How long is it going to take them?
2 or 3 days, probably. They've got to get them. They've got to process the RMA. They've got to ship me new ones.
But you don't have to go through Western Digital with this.
I'm going straight through B&H. Yeah. I could have gone through Western Digital, but that probably would take even longer.
Now, let me ask you, though. Did you also get the expanded memory module that I told you about?
I will. I haven't got it yet.
So you don't dare set up Docker containers or virtual machines
without that,
without getting your expanded memory module, because
I'm not planning on doing any of that yet, right? But you know, having to buy the drives, I didn't want to have to buy another thing, and
sure.
I was gonna wait until a couple more paychecks down the road before Caitlin got too mad at me for spending $900. So in the meantime, I'm gonna play with. You go back, almost 2 years now, maybe pre-COVID, that computer project I helped my friend with.
Well, yeah.
Where his uncle passed and we cleaned out his computer hoarding house. He had a couple SAS RAID arrays. I didn't realize they were SAS RAIDs.
Oh,
so nice. I dug it out. I just was going through it thinking, well, what can I do with these SAS drives now that I have them, now I have nothing to do with? So one of them, I have a 5-bay SAS drive.
Mm-hmm. What else did you buy?
Uh-oh. Nothing. I didn't buy anything.
He didn't have to at this point.
I didn't have to. Didn't have to.
He's like, Caitlin.
but I'm going to essentially drop in 5 4-terabyte drives and do a 1-RAID parity and give me, what is it, 16 terabytes?
Nice.
And just have that as 12. Whatever storage.
Well, this guy was a digital
hoarder. What's 5-bay? It's 5-bay.
He was a digital equipment hoarder, and you got some of this stuff.
Yeah, he was a digital forensics analyst for a police department, and that was his life.
Ooh, no don't kids. Erase those drives. Yeah.
And, well, I didn't get any drives from him, right? This stuff is from a work-related.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's
project. I made sure that I didn't get any hard drives from a police department. I didn't want anything to do with that.
I was going
to
say, you might be able to solve some old cold cases there, you know?
Right.
You know, I still have a copy of Elcomsoft Professional. You might be able to, you know, find some stuff on those drives. Yeah.
I know we talked about last week's show that I was going to try and build a machine with Windows 8, but I got so down on my luck about the Synology and stuff, I didn't have a chance to do it. So.
Just don't even do it, dude. Yeah.
I think it'd be fun to do it because.
Your definition of fun is really messed up.
Yeah. It really is. What is Caleb doing while you're doing this?
Sleeping, usually. I usually do all this stuff once Caleb and Max go to bed, right? And I'm just down in the dungeon doing my own thing.
Oh, man.
Got a soldering gun there. I can see that.
But, yeah. We'll talk about that later, but I did do some soldering on a Wyze product. I did a physical hack to a Wyze product, and I can talk about that a little later. But
oh, wow.
Wait, what? No. Tell us now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we want to know.
This was something that I wanted to work on for a long time ago. And so the Wyze switch.
All right.
Yeah.
It's a wall switch.
Yeah, it's a wall switch.
Right. But it's a wall plate switch that you actually physically wire in because there's a relay inside that can control your 120-volt circuit. Right? So you could actually have it turn on and off an actual 120-volt circuit.
Oh, when you said wiring, I thought you meant like wiring to Ethernet. I'm like, who puts Ethernet in a wall?
No.
Okay, never mind. Yeah, I got it.
So you take out whatever switch you had in.
Yeah, of course you got it.
Obviously,
to.
Turn the power off first. You wire this
in. Nah, I like it more fun that way.
You know, you wire it in with the neutral, the hot, and the ground, just like you would any other switch.
Is this wire hot?
It connects your Wi-Fi and everything. Well, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be able to put this like somewhere else, not in a... I didn't know when I bought this that it was going to be you actually had to wire it in hot, neutral.
It literally says wall switch, Sean. What part of that did you miss?
Right. So if you look up smart wall switches, most of them are just the faceplate with a little circuit board inside.
That's true. Very minimal.
Sticks to the wall, connects to your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I've seen those.
I've never seen that. No. Okay.
So I had saved a Reddit thread a while back. A guy did a breakdown of this, took the logic board out, separated it from the rest of the unit.
Right.
You can take a USB cable, take the 5-volt positive and the ground, solder them to the traces, and provide it 5-volt power. So you don't have to actually provide it 120-volt power to do the conversion for the wall plate. So I don't have it because it's actually plugged in upstairs. I'll go get it when we go into break. So I took it apart, and I'll show it to you. Took the guts out, went to Harbor Freight or whatever, the Ace Harbor Store, bought a gang plate.
Yeah.
And mounted the guts in a gang plate. So I have a functioning, just tethered to a USB wall plate for Wyze.
And
so
what,
I can take it and plug it in.
What would be the purpose of that?
So I don't have to plug it in. I don't have to take a wall switch out, mount this in the wall to an actual live circuit in my house. I can just take it and plug the 5-volt into any USB charger that provides 5-volt and stick it anywhere in my house.
Right.
But well, hold on. I'm sorry. The guts are mounted in the wall connected to 120.
No.
But
no,
then.
Not, well, if you wanted to do it the way you're supposed to.
Oh.
But I took it apart.
What is that? So what does that control then? If it's not connected to 120, what is it controlling?
It's controlling my smart light bulbs.
His smart bulbs. Although I'm still a little confused. I took a left turn at Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was going to go get it during the break before I talked about it. But I'll show it to you. I'll take it apart. I'll show you the pictures. I took some pictures of it. And I'll explain to you what it does.
All right.
So
that's kind of a cool project. Okay, all right.
No disrespect, Sean. It sounds like a little bit more of more work. Engineering.
Like maybe they sell something like that already.
You know, they do make thing.
They don't.
They do make this thing called a Wyze app on your phone.
Right.
That you can.
But
just,
now I don't have to open the app to turn the lights off in my living room. I can just hit the switch.
Instead, you just have to rewire your whole house.
I got it. Okay. So you got the Wyze bulbs in there. Now you don't have to use the app. You just use the switch. It'll do it.
Yes, so the switch, I can set up the switch to do,
but where's the switch
single,
at?
Single press does
wherever
this.
He wants it to be.
Double press does this, triple press does this, long press does this.
Does that switch have Wi-Fi built in then? It connects to your Wi-Fi?
Yeah. So he can have it like right next to his computer. He can have whatever room you want to be in.
I got the gang boxes today. I didn't have to work today, and Max was at daycare, and I didn't feel very good, so I didn't want to do anything. So I just did a project day. I just did whatever the hell I wanted to do today. So I was like, these Wyze plugs, I've wanted to do this for a long time. I cracked one open. It took me 5 minutes to do it.
Wow. That's cool. I'm so afraid of soldering. I'm terrible at it.
So
I love soldering.
I'll take the other one apart so you can at least see it. But
yeah.
Okay. What you're saying is you could just mount this in like, you could have a battery pack, put it in a gang plate with a switch mounted to it, and just like carry it around with you throughout the house. And whenever you just want, you just hit that little switch and it's going to turn off your lights or whatever.
Yeah. So I've already got, that's my next project, is to take a 16, whatever they call them, the 18635, the lithium ion batteries.
18650s.
A 5-volt, a 5-volt down convert, buck converter charger. Yeah. One of those. One of the e-cig batteries or light flashlight batteries wired in. So I can charge it, unplug it, use it if I needed to, set it around my house, wherever. Who knows how long the charge will last on that, running all the time. Who knows?
How much of how much did that plate cost you?
This? The gang plate?
The gang boxes are like, what, $1.88 or something?
Yeah, they were $1. I don't remember. I bought a 3-pack of these over 2 years ago, probably.
Oh, wow.
When they were first for sale.
Right.
But then I got them, and I was like, oh, I didn't want to have to wire it in.
You
didn't
deal with that, yeah. Oh, that's cool. So it's kind of neat. I can kind of see what you want to do with it now.
I see now.
Yeah. So right now, upstairs, sitting on the table next to the couch, is the Wyze plug plugged in via USB to the wall. I hit the button, it turns the lights off in the living room.
Nice.
I double tap it, turns all the lights out upstairs.
You can have one of them in every room.
You know what I do?
Well, my goal is to, like, right now, when I change the lights down here in my room to the blue for radio.
Right.
I open the app and I hit a preset on my phone for the app. Now all I could do is just I could come down here and hit the button and it would change.
Now, Justin, you were going to say, what do you do?
I did the one for upstairs.
Oh, what I do? I just say, hey, Google, turn on the lights.
Yeah, I guess you could do that too. But he doesn't. Yeah. He's not into home assistance.
And you guys didn't see this.
What's that?
Before I said that, I actually took my phone and I put it under my butt. So that way it wouldn't actually fire off that command, because if I said it would have done it, and Amisa's upstairs with Eric and they'd be like, why are you turning off the lights?
It's funny because you guys know I do radio shows across the country for stations, and whenever they have a promo where I have to promo the fact that they've got an Alexa device, and they always say, just tell your Amazon Alexa to play 98.5. And I will do it. And then, like, seriously, like half an hour later, I'll go into the kitchen to grab, a cup of coffee or something. And there'll be the station playing on the little radio, the little Alexa device in there. So, that's one of the downsides to all of that. You know, I wanted to say something, with the holiday seasons here, and I don't know how you guys feel about this. Giving the gift of tech, you got to be really careful about that. Because there are people who don't like it. Like, if I was to send you, and I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, if I was to send you an Amazon Alexa device, where would it go?
in the trash.
It would go in a drawer. Or you'd sell it, right? And people tend to want to just do that because, number one, it's inexpensive. You could get, you know, the hockey puck, really inexpensive, for, you know, the Alexa, the Echo devices, or even...
I've straight up told family, don't buy me an Alexa. Don't buy me an Amazon device or a Google Smart device. I said, I won't use it. As much as you guys... I don't want to talk to my technology.
Yeah.
I want to physically interact with my technology. That's just the way I want it to be.
And, but you, so you got to find out like how people feel about privacy. I know that we gave, our daughter once a cam, you know, like a webcam that she could, or a security camera. It was the Blink system and cause it was a good deal and whatnot. And we got her that and now they hated it. They didn't want a camera, you know, facing out towards their parking lot where their car was. And that's, you know, you gotta, I should have taken that into consideration before I got it. So always find out.
We're actually doing a white elephant, gift exchange at my work.
Ah, good.
And I was looking around to try to find something to, because they're like, it's like, you know, $25, you know, maximum limit, which is fine. But I'm sitting there looking around. I'm like, oh man, what do I buy somebody? But I wanted something that would be interesting. So I was looking at it and I ended up buying a 2-pack of the TP Casa smart bulbs, the color changing light bulbs, like the ones that I have right behind me here.
Wow.
They're standard E26 bases. So they, you know, the regular light bulb base, screw base, but it's a 2-pack of them. And I brought it home and I was so proud of it. So proud of what I had potentially getting somebody else.
Yeah.
And I talked to my wife and I was like, yeah, we're doing a white elephant gift exchange. This is what I'm going to give somebody. And she's like, looks at it and she's like, why would you do that? And I'm like, what do you mean? Why would I do that? It's awesome. And she's like, no, well, I would not want to receive that if that was my gift. And I'm like, well, that's awesome because we're doing a white elephant gift exchange, which means if you open your gift, the next person can either take your gift or do their own gift. So that's how white elephant works.
I had no idea.
Are you never done a white elephant?
No, I've been to the white elephant, but I've never done the white elephant.
Usually it's booze, and booze goes around quick. Booze.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, what they you know, usually with white elephant, they put a three limit exchange on it. So like if it goes around and it gets exchanged between three different people, that third person automatically gets to keep it. They're stuck with it.
Yeah.
But I thought, I was like, well, fine. If somebody opens this up and they don't want it, I'm sure somebody else down the line might say, you know what? Those smart bulbs look pretty cool. I'm going to get those. And again, it was only like $29. It was a little bit over the limit of what they said, but it's kind of hard to find something worth anything worth $25 anymore.
I would be jazzed getting that.
That's what I said. I was like, this would be awesome to get. Like if I was the person, like, I'll be like, hey, I want those smart bulbs. Those are awesome. But my wife is like, no, I don't want that. So it goes to your point, you know, saying that it's not for everybody. Tech isn't for everybody. And you got to understand, but I'm not giving this to a particular person. I'm giving it to a group of 100+ individuals. Somebody is going to want that.
You know what I thought was always a great gift? And I've given this gift to kids as like a backup. The one year I remember I gave them all tiles. You know, the Tile Finder app, and then you have the Tile device, which was, it's a Bluetooth type device, which is great. Every kid got one. They're inexpensive. But I found like last year, I ended up giving, you know, because we had six kids, got grandkids, you know, like all over the place, flash drives, you know, two flash drives, you know, with a couple of terabytes each on them. That was a great gift because...
Wait, a couple of terabytes each?
Wait, a couple gigabytes. Sorry.
I was about to say. Good God.
I need to go to Andy's white Christmas party.
Yeah, right?
Terabytes on flash drives.
Yeah, yeah, no. Sorry. Gigabytes. Actually, no, it was...
But
it's 32 gigabytes. Yeah.
Yeah, if somebody gave a thumb drive at a OIT, Office of Information Technology Christmas party, I sure as hell ain't taking that.
Yeah, no, not at all. No, absolutely not. No.
It's or if you're malware at, if you're on at, that one. Yeah.
If you're at Black Hat White Christmas or something, you know. I have one flash drive of mine that I love. It's a 1 terabyte flash drive and it is super, super small, and it's actually got USB A and USB C.
Those
and
are cool.
And USB micro built in. So right. like you just fold down the edge of it and it becomes a USB micro. So that's, I got like three different interfaces.
That's
gotta
be a SanDisk, is it?
I think so. Yeah.
SanDisk makes some great ones. You know, they're a division of Western Digital, but with your drives. Who knows what had happened to that? But no, I like the SanDisk for that. Actually, I got the one that you can plug right into the, it's got a lightning port. I plug it right there on my smartphone. I've got the iXpand Drive app. I can just take the app and drag the photos onto my onto that and then clear them off my phone. It makes it kind of cool. All right, we got to take a quick break. We will come back with more of Tech Talk Radio. Lots of stuff announced. There is something for
something
for free coming up.
And I bought more stuff, so I got plenty more to talk about.
All right. Well, great. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin. Let me find us on the interwebs, techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
I spent more money. I'm a sucker for Black Friday deals.
Yeah.
Cyber Monday deals. You know the drill.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There were a lot of deals this year.
Usually I buy something computer related to upgrade my PC or whatever. Don't really need to do that, except I might buy a new Ryzen processor for a different PC that I'm building.
Right.
But I bought some Wise stuff.
Wise.
As you do. I actually didn't buy something. I had it in my cart for Wise, but I didn't buy it because I didn't need it, but I wanted it. So they had different deals leading up to Black Friday and more deals on Black Friday. They announced a black version of the camera, the version 3 camera. It looks really cool.
Right.
And they were only selling so many of them. So I put it in the cart. I already have 7 cameras. Don't need another one. Right. So I took it out of the cart.
Surely you could find a place to put it.
I'm sure I could have. Then another email popped up saying the new color bulbs from Wise. So many of you who listen know I've got, I think, 14 of the color bulbs, the regular color bulbs. They announced the in-can, I don't know how you explained this, right? The can lights, like you see at recessed lighting, right? They announced those style bulbs. So they're the bigger triangular shaped bulbs. 4-pack of these bulbs, $40. That's a great deal for 4 colored bulbs.
That is a really good deal.
Plus, if you bought it right then, limited supply, get a free regular E38 or whatever the socket size is light bulb. So
E26.
I got 5 Wise color bulbs for my Black Friday, and they look great. You guys can see it behind me. You guys mentioned they look better just because they fill out those can lights.
You don't look better. The lights look better.
Well, that's fine. That's really the only other thing I bought. So I'm just kind of looking around. I gave Caitlin some Christmas ideas for me, an Elgato Stream Deck.
I was just going to ask about that. You send Caitlin like a wish list of things, right? For like Christmas. I'm just curious. Did you just like, when you sent her your wish list, did you just send her wise.com?
Now for our listeners, because there is a wise.com that is different, spelled different. So you want to go to WYZE.com when we're talking about this stuff. Otherwise, it's like a PayPal in another country. So, WYZE.com.
I don't think there's any Wise – no, there's no Wise products on the wish list.
Yeah, because you bought them already.
She did say, I'm not buying you the first thing that's on your wish list.
Oh,
really?
That's why you put that on like the third or fourth thing, because then you confuse her, yeah.
Yeah, well, no.
It was also very expensive.
It's the Arvada, what? Isn't it?
It was the DJI Avata.
$1,300
drone. I've got, for my Christmas, my wish list, I've got a 120 volt to 12 volt power supply for my HF radio that I want to put in my basement, a signal stuff antenna, a antenna mounting bracket for my truck, Elgato Stream Deck, a IKEA gaming chair, and a IKEA gaming desk.
I wouldn't mind a gaming chair. I think that would be cool.
Wait, IKEA makes a gaming chair?
Yeah,
you have to put it together. It's all plastic.
It's a game in its own.
Yeah, right?
No, it's, I've been looking at gaming chairs, and I don't want to – I know, Justin, you've got the Secret Labs chair. I wish I could commit to spending that much Secret money on Lab. A chair, but I just bought
– What? It was only $300.
Sand stuff, right? $120 to $200 for a gaming chair I think is pretty good instead of this piece of garbage Walmart chair I've had for a decade.
How much was your chair, Justin? You said $300, $400?
It's like $350 at the most.
Have you seen that company that's advertising on television They've got a chair. It has a heater in it. It has speakers built into it. It has a massager, and it's got armrests and the whole bit. I don't know who makes it. It's not Herman Miller. You know, Herman Miller got together with Logitech, and they've got a gaming chair out now. But
For like $5,000.
Well, that's what surprised me. This company that's advertising, they're saying, you know, and as soon as they say this, I know, oh, wait a minute, I could never afford this chair, because they say, available in $20 monthly payments. Like, yeah. Wait, for how long?
Available in 47 payments of $50 each.
Yeah, they Herman Miller's not cheap. I've got family that, because Herman Miller is based out of Holland, Michigan, which is about an hour and a half north of here. So I've got family that work at Herman Miller.
Can they get you a
and
deal?
They can. And the Eames chair is like kind of the most iconic Eames. Herman Miller thing.
Right.
Eames, it's a very iconic chair. If you saw it, you'd see it. But one of my aunts has one. It's fantastic and super comfortable. But
now, if you're sitting for a long amount of time, Justin, in that chair, which is, I've heard Secret Labs has got a great reputation. Does it really help versus over a chair you've had before? Absolutely. I mean, does it make a difference?
Absolutely. No, I don't get I don't sit as much as I used to. I mean, during the pandemic, I'd be working from home all the time. I'd be sitting in this chair for 8 to 10 hours a day, you know, and then after dinner, I'd come down and play games. And I'd sit in the chair. So yeah, like 12 hours a day, I'd be sitting in this chair, and I do not have any of the leg cramps. I didn't have any of the back cramps. The chair is an amazing chair. Honestly, it's not as nice as like a, you know, like a Herman Miller or what is the other one? Human scale.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, those are like super expensive, but it's still a decent chair for like $350. It was is not a, a, it's a great buy, honestly, in my opinion. It's become a gimmick. The whole gaming chair, right? It's become a gimmick because gaming is becoming more and more prevalent and more popular. Mm-hmm. When they say a gaming chair, it usually just means a high back, you know, like this. This has got a high back chair. It's a fully supported back chair. It's not a high back chair. That's what is good about it. It is all the extra features of it. I mean, I've got adjustable armrests. I've got 14 different ways I can adjust the back. I can lay down flat on this thing if I wanted to. If I wanted to lay down and go to sleep,
wow,
I could lay down flat on this thing if I wanted to. The wheels, the base, the weight of the chair under my feet keeps it solid on the ground. Instead of if I back up too quickly, I don't have to worry about this thing falling over.
Right.
You know, I don't have to worry about shifting my weight and it just tipping over
on me. It's balanced, yeah.
It's very well balanced. Everything about the chair is great. Now, I do have to say the left armrest, a little bit more than a year ago, so I've only had it for about 2 years, the armrest leather blew out. And I contacted Secret Labs right away. And I think I talked about this on the show at one point. I said, hey, guys, you know, this is not really right. I mean, this should have not done this so soon. And they're like, well, you know, normally it's not really covered under, you know, warranty, but I really want to make, you know, sure you're taken care of. I'm going to send you a new armrest. And I got it. I've just never installed it.
Never put it together.
No, but I mean, it's still there, but it's getting to the point now where you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's getting worse and it's starting to wrinkle. Like my right armrest is nice, solid, smooth leather. The left armrest has wrinkles in it because the leather is starting to retract and it's starting to pull apart more. So yeah, I think very soon I'm going to have to replace this left armrest. But again, you know, Secret Labs is great with their customer service.
I don't want to say misleading, but it's almost like not serving a larger population of those that maybe work from home, have their own home business that want to be comfortable while they're at home. You know, whether they're doing medical billing from home or accounting for people from home or just running a business out of their house.
I think that's kind of where, like, you got like the Herman Millers and the Human Scales.
Mm-hmm.
Those are where those are aimed towards those people,
right?
These chairs are aimed towards gamers, the guys that sit for, you know, 8, maybe 10 hours a day at the most. You know, granted, that's a lot of time. I get it. But these are more geared towards gamers.
Right.
And I have a footrest underneath my chair, too. So
that's cool.
It allows me to rest my foot. It's just one of those foam back rollers, you know, you can buy for super cheap.
Right.
And I just put it under my feet when I'm sitting here talking to you guys. So like I'm kind of raised up off the ground a little bit. I'm kind of short. I'm only 5'8". So when I have my camera up here, when I'm talking to you guys on the show, I have to raise my chair up a little bit so I can be on the camera. My feet don't touch the ground.
Otherwise, we just get his forehead. It's just,
just my forehead talking. But no, having the little roller under my feet as well also helps with the ergonomics because I can keep my legs moving throughout the day. I can just continuously roll this back and forth and it keeps the blood flowing through my
legs. That's better for your health.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Embody gaming chair from Herman Miller, that's they partnered with Logitech, is 25% off right now.
Oh, don't tease me.
So it's really? Only $7,000.
For a low, low price of $1,346.
Oh.
Ooh, wow.
Well, yikes. That's better. It's better than I thought, but still, that's a lot.
How do you justify that one? You know, I'm still trying to justify the DJI Mini 3 Pro. All right, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. The other day, I finally got home. I had some time off, and I thought, you know what? Now's the time to take it out. There was very little wind, beautiful blue skies. Go ahead. Get out there and fly this thing. So I haven't really. I've only lifted it up. Taking a couple of shots and then brought
and
it down to the
you
ground.
You crashed it.
No, but I was terrified to fly this thing.
Me too. Oh. When I first got my Phantom 4, I was terrified until I talked to Sean. And Sean was like, dude, seriously, these things can fly themselves. Like,
yeah, but I'm worried. I mean, I couldn't see it anymore. I lifted it up. I was going to take a beautiful view of the cactus, and it was gone. The only way I could see it was on the camera, you know, on the controller. But then I was so concerned that
Me
I would
too.
Never find it again.
Me too. I had my Phantom 4. I sent it all the way down. I was in the park in our neighborhood, and I sent it all the way down the street towards Brew's Beers, which is at the corner of our neighborhood, and I lost contact with it. And I literally lost contact. It said, you know, lost contact.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is my very first flight. I lost $1,100 drone.
Yeah,
but then I remember what Sean said. Sean told me on the phone a couple days earlier, he's like, no, don't worry about it, man. It comes back home. It comes back to the last known location where it took off from. And I'm like, wait, hold up. So wait, I'm looking in the sky. I'm looking around. I can't find it. I can't see it. All of a sudden,
there it is.
And there it is. And it comes down and it lands right in front of my feet. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Did you ever take it up again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See, I was just so 25 minutes. I said, that's it. I'm going home. I was able to bring it back. I did it backwards, brought it lower. Then I could say, okay, good. I got home. I was just terrified. I don't know. Where is the best place to take it for its first run? Because I know this thing is fast.
Any park that's got open space? See,
my problem is I was more, okay, once I got over that initial shock of it being gone and coming back home, I was more terrified, honestly, more terrified of taking it up into a place that was a restricted quote-unquote airspace.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, where can I fly? Because all these stupid apps that came out with the FAA safe to fly and all these other things like, well, you have to register your aircraft with the FCC and you have to tell us when and where you're going to be flying and for how long and what altitude you're going to be flying at. And I'm like, I'm not a damn pilot, okay? This is a drone.
This is a drone,
right?
For
I'm
fun.
I'm going to be flying well below the limits of planes, okay? If there's a plane, an actual like Cessna or a Learjet or a 747 that's going to be flying at 500 feet, I think you got bigger things to worry about than my drone.
Okay, we got to take a break. But before we do that, you guys know who Guns N' Roses is, right?
Yeah.
Axl Rose, the lead singer of the group, is perturbed. The reason is they're doing a show in Australia, and they got some Yahoo who brought a drone in with him. And he takes the drone, and he's flying over the crowd, flies right in front of Axl Rose while he's singing. So now there's a push to eliminate drones from concerts, but most everybody is saying, I got no problem with that. Get them out of here. Mm. So that's all it takes is one person. Like Sean said, when he was going to get into it, somebody told you, don't be stupid.
The FAA guy at the airport, the guy who I was working with to get my license at the airport in Grand Rapids was like, you could literally not get a license and not do stupid. I was about to curse, but don't be a dumb.
Yeah, please don't.
Yes, please don't.
And you'll be fine.
Yeah. But in this case,
common sense, man.
Yeah, in this case, common sense didn't rule. So it looks like they're now going to have to create a policy that says with this technology, you can't do it. Because there he is right in front of him as he's singing. And it's like, yeah, not too happy.
You know, if I was Axl Rose, I would have just picked up my mic stand and swung it at the drone.
That would have been, you would have heard a cry from the audience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
And I'm Justin Lemme. Find us on Twitter at Tech Talk Radio. We are back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Now, we talked about what Sean bought on Black Friday.
Oh.
I actually bought something myself.
What did Justin get for Black Friday? Let me guess. You got yourself a 4090.
Oh, God, no. No, no, no. Not even close. No. No, forget the 4090s. Forget NVIDIA at this point. I'm really mad at NVIDIA, but we'll talk about that other time. No, I was actually, it was funny. I was actually sitting at my favorite brewery, Brews Beers, on Thanksgiving. It was before we had our dinner, and I was sitting with one of our neighbor friends, and he was he brought in some food that he had prepared for his Thanksgiving, and it was a smoked turkey.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting, because I've heard of fried turkey, you know, deep fried turkey. I've heard of, you know, obviously baked turkey, whatever. But smoked turkey, I was like, what? And so I tasted this. I was like, oh, my God, it's amazing. And he's like, yeah, you should get yourself a smoker. So that's what I did. I bought a smoker.
Wow, really? That's so non-technical of you.
this is actually a little bit technical because – so I really wanted to get a smoker, but I couldn't afford them because – when I think of smokers, I think of Traeger because of their market share.
And they got a hefty price.
They do. They're very expensive. $1,200-$1,300 for a Traeger. I got on a Black Friday, early Black Friday sale, I got a Masterbuilt electric smoker. So it doesn't use pellets. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep refilling it every couple hours with actual wood chips. But I got it for $270.
That's pretty good.
It's actually a pretty decent size smoker. It's 77 cubic inches or no, wait, hold on. Yeah, 77 cubic inches, I think it was. But it's got four racks. It can do three full racks of baby back ribs.
Oh, wow.
With a separate rack for vegetables. It's pretty decent size. I just got it in today. I haven't even opened it up yet, but I've already got all the accessories. I got the big thick rubber gloves to be able to take it out. You know, I got the wood chips. I've got the meat thermometer. I actually added that to my Christmas wish list. But then I was like, well, you know, I kind of want to smoke something this weekend.
All right, now, hold on. If you're getting a meat thermometer, Justin, you got to get it somewhat tech. You got to have that one. Have you seen this? It connects via Bluetooth to your smartphone. You put the little, you know, the probe into the meat, and it will actually go to your smartphone and give you an indication of when this meat will be done at the current temperature or the current level of heat. I mean, it does all of that.
I did. I looked at that one, and unfortunately, with the way that a smoker works and the intricacies, I guess, for a lack of better words right now, the intricacies that go into a smoker, that was not sensitive enough. It does not give you the accurate temperature readings from what I was reading from the different reviews, and it was not good for a smoker. So I decided to go with an actual meat probe, but it does have a Bluetooth capable, a second device that can actually work within about a 500-foot range. It's actually not Bluetooth. It's actually Wi-Fi. It creates its own Wi-Fi network.
Oh, cool. It's even better.
Ad hoc. Yeah, ad hoc Wi-Fi. So I plug the thermometer into the different meats, and it's got two probes, so I can do two different sets of meat, probing it. And then the actual unit, the other unit, just is Wi-Fi enabled. I can be inside the house. I can look at the temperatures. I did want something that would allow me to monitor it on my smartphone anywhere from basically anywhere in the world. I mean,
right.
Obviously, I'm not going to be anywhere in the world when
if you put a rack of ribs on and you got to fly to Kansas?
Yeah, and I go to work. Oh, well, I fly to Kansas, then, you know, I just buy a rack of ribs there. But
honey, no, turn to me.
If I'm at work, you know, if I'm at work and I want to be able to see what's going on and I need to come home real, because again, I live so close to my work, so I can just come home real quick. I can throw in some more wood chips. I can't do that with this particular model. However, what I can do is I've got an extra Wyze Cam. I can set up the thermometer on my counter, aim a Wyze Cam at it, and I can see the temperature from the Wyze Cam.
Sean, you should have bought that other camera.
But honestly, though, I've been looking at a lot of recipes, and I am so excited to try this smoker out. I got to season it first. Yeah. I got to get it ready. I got to season it first. You know, basically what that means is you fire it up. You put some extra wood chips into it to get that extra smoky flavor and get those sides, the metal sides of the container, all nice and coated in smoke. before you actually go.
Get that nice patina going.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to get that patina going. You got to burn off all the chemicals from the factory. You know, you got to get it going, right? So I'm going to do that probably tomorrow, I would think.
We get it going for it. We can start another show and call it Barbecue Talk Radio.
Oh, my gosh. Well, first off, you guys both need to get smokers to talk about it.
I can't cook to save my life.
I can't either. I had a smoker.
That's what a smoker does for you.
I had a smoker about 4 years ago, Herb. He sat in the corner, and he would just cough his head off, and then he had to leave.
Okay, you were talking about a different kind of smoker, Andy.
I don't want to have none of this.
Yeah.
You're going to put a rack of ribs in me? I've already got two sets of ribs. I don't need any more.
We digress.
No, that's
another cigarette.
You know, it's funny though, when you look at technology and how much it is becoming a part of our daily life, from barbecuing to smoking to working in the kitchen, looking at a stove this week, and for the size of the stove and what we liked, it was from not a stove, a refrigerator. For what we were looking at, it was perfect. It's from LG. And LG has Wi-Fi enabled refrigerators.
Of course they do.
But why? I don't get it.
So there's a really fun story that came out about 3 or 4 years ago. Okay. There was a daughter who got in trouble at school. So her parents took away her phone. But then they realized she was still tweeting. She was tweeting from her 3D. She was tweeting from her 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
Her Nintendo 3DS, because you can enable that to tweet.
Okay.
Well, then they took that away. So then the last tweet she sent was, "Help, I need to tweet from something else from her refrigerator."
Oh, my God. So she was tweeting from her fridge.
She was tweeting from the fridge. So you can enable that. Some sort of functionality within that.
Yeah.
To be able to tweet from your fridge. So that was kind of a comical story of, her parents would take one device away, and she would find another device to be able to tweet from.
And more devices. I was thinking about something, Sean. We were talking about the bulbs earlier, the Wise bulbs. And you had bought a 4-pack for $30. So what is the life? Have we been able to figure out what is the lifespan of a colored bulb?
Oh.
That, you know, you put one of these up. You've spent, you know, almost, don't make me do the math. You know, $8-$9 for each bulb.
Yeah, about that.
You know, what is the lifespan of those? If somebody is going to invest in one of those, is it going to be longer than a regular bulb in many cases?
Oh, yeah. Well, in being regular LED bulb,
yeah.
An incandescent bulb, a fluorescent bulb, right? So on the back of the box, they have some stats for these bulbs, right? So the estimated yearly energy cost at 3 hours
a day. How many calories?
Is $1.39 a year, 3 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
Yep. All right.
Life expectancy based on 3 hours of use a day, 22.8 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's.
But now, hold on. Now, here's the thing, though. I got to say something about that. As somebody who just recently replaced my LED lights.
Right.
All
right.
I did all in the kitchen. I've had LED lights in my kitchen underneath the counters since we moved in 2015. And although they still worked as of last week, they were considerably dimmer. Now, granted, I kept them on 24/7, right? So, yes, I get it. They run their course, but that 22.8 year lifespan, it's probably not going to be the same after year 11 than it was in year 1, because they're not going to be as bright. The LEDs do dim over time.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah,
but still,
I don't think that they're
going
to outlive. I mean, there's going to be something way cooler by the time these die.
Right, probably want to replace it with at that point.
Well, yeah. You don't even need lights at that point. You're just going to be jacking into your headset, you know, the Matrix and all.
Everybody will be wearing virtual goggles.
Pretty much.
Going to work, just strap on the goggles.
Yep.
I wanted to share with you guys Epic Games. Epic Games this past week. And if you missed it, sorry about that, because it ended on the 1st. But Epic Games was giving away Star Wars Squadrons for free for a digital download. And they did this for a couple of weeks. And we found out about it. We missed it last weekend on the show. But it ended on the 1st. But they are promising, And Epic Games has a pretty good library of games. They are promising, starting December 15th and running through January 10th, a daily download, a free game every day. Like, we took Sean, he's perplexed. He's all verklempt over this one.
Are you okay, Sean?
Are you okay, Sean?
He can't talk right now.
Someone went down the wrong pipe.
When he heard that, he was like, wait, they're giving away stuff for free?
Free, a free digital download every day starting at December 15th at Epic Games. Now, everybody I talked to, and I believe, Sean, I think you played Star Wars Squadrons, that they said that this was a phenomenal game to play.
Yeah, and it was amazing in VR.
Oh, even in VR. Wow.
Yeah, because it's, you know, the premise of the game is you're flying in a squadron, whether it's an X-Wing, a TIE Fighter, or, you know, a B-Wing, whatever. It's all in first person. So there's no third person flying in this game, right? So it's all in cockpit. So with the joystick and the goggles on, man, it was awesome. Just, you're pulling back the stick. You're rolling your head back. You're looking. I mean, it is awesome.
Well, for them to do that for free, somebody asked me, they said, why do they do that? And I said, well, the purpose is they want you, because people go to Steam, they go to, you know, Valve, whatever. They want people to go to Epic Games to be their provider when it comes to games. And I guess they figure if you're coming there and you're downloading something, and I don't know the quality or you know, the titles that they're going to be doing December 15th through January 10th. But, I mean, they've got a pretty good library, but you'll just keep coming back. And when it comes time to buy your game, you'll buy it through the Epic Games, you know, their library.
Well, it's just, they're just trying to compete for market share against Steam, right?
I mean,
Steam has free games all the time. Steam has Steam sales all the time, right? So Epic Games has to pay money to other vendors to put their games on their platforms, whether it's Steam or the Apple Store or Google Play or whatever, right? They take money every time somebody downloads the game or pays for it on those platforms. So it makes sense they want them on their own platform.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. Got to take another quick break. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin. Let me find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TechTalkers. Tech Talkers.
Tech Talkers. Hey.
I had that.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
So I want to say thank you to Justin for turning me on to this this guy on YouTube. Network Chuck, amazing. Oh, yeah. Amazing. I started watching some of his videos because you had mentioned him last week on the show, and I thought, well, let me see what this guy's all about. Phenomenal. If you're, you know, sometimes you see these guys on YouTube and they'll come out and sometimes they're hard to understand or the videos really don't show you what you really want to know. This guy lays it out perfectly, tells it perfectly, and tells you the info you want to know. Really great. So if you're not following Network Chuck, definitely I recommend jump on a YouTube, follow this guy. If some of it may be over your head tech. Some of it may be right what you're looking for. You'll find it all there.
Yeah. And I've actually got a different person that I've been following recently, and he's really good as well. He's really good for weather forecasting. You know, we all watch our, you know, local news, you know, the meteorologists, and I'm not trying to talk trash about any particular meteorologist, but this guy is a YouTube meteorologist, and he goes by, his channel is Ryan Hall Y'all. And so if you just go to YouTube and look up Ryan Hall, he does a very interesting meteorology program, and he's always coming up with new videos because obviously weather's always changing. But he was actually instrumental in Hurricane. What was the one that was the recent one that came through? Was it Ian? I think it was Ian. Yeah, Hurricane Ian, the latest one. He forecasted that when it was still down in the Bahamas. And he's like, guys, this is going to be huge. This is going to be a big, big storm. And it caught a lot of attention. And his predictions came right. And now he's blown up on YouTube because what he does is so accurate. And not only just that one, it's, yeah, you can say, oh yeah, he guessed it. No, every storm he projects happens. Ryan Hall Y'all.
Ryan Hall Y'all. And Sean, you wanted to close with some info about drones that, you know, we talked about drones earlier that people should know. Maybe I shouldn't be so frightened.
Yeah. So if you're worried about, oh, I can't fly above 400 feet or I can't fly in this area, like they have a map. It's a little complicated to get to, but it's the FAA has it. It's FAA.maps.arc ArcGIS.com.
All right.
ArcGIS, okay. However you say that. You can punch in your address, and it'll give you a mile-by-mile square grid of what height you can fly at.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
All right.
So
awesome.
If you zoom into your address, I can fly up to 400 feet over my house. But if I go 2 or 3 miles down the road, 200 feet, because I'm getting closer to the Elkhart County Airport. And it lists the airports, and it shows you the circles. It's because if you look at a sectional map, it's terrifying for those of you who don't fly.
Yeah.
Right? Trying to read a sectional map. This is, in layman's terms, it says there's a square over my house. 400 feet. I know that I'm good to fly 400 feet in this area. FAA.gov, search for the maps. You'll get there. It's a great tool to use if you're concerned about where you can fly.
All right. That's it for this week's Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
And I'm Justin Lemme. Once again, find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. Have yourselves a great week. We'll see you.